Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warez.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Kapp.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Klink.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Adam Fowler.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's a Need to Know podcast. All thanks to the CIA Ops patron community. The Need to Know podcast. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, N2K Podcast, and online at ciaops.podbean.com.
Welcome along to the Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and you join me for episode 253. 253 is an FAQ episode. We are at FAQ 16. The FAQs are a deeper dive, a little bit more time spent looking just below the surface on some of the technologies in Microsoft 365. If you do want to contact me and, again, maybe suggest a topic for these podcasts or a guest you'd like to see on the longer format ones, please do so at DirectorCIA on the Twitters. Now, a lot of the FAQs we've been talking about recently have focused on security. Now, one of the aspects we want to think about when it comes to security is dealing with a lot of these sort of alerts and indications in an automated way. Now, there are different technologies that Microsoft have that allow you to take these automated responses. So what I thought I'd do is just give a bit of a summary here of the major options when it comes to automation and tie them back to some of the security services that we've been talking about. Now, the first one off the bat is Power Automate. This is the old Microsoft Flow. Again, it's a technology that doesn't require any programmatic skill, so it's not actually writing code. It's largely connecting logic blocks together. So what you do is you take a service, so let's say an email service and SharePoint, and then you basically use a process to connect these together in a logical flow. So for example, when an email comes in with an attachment, remove that attachment and put it into a SharePoint site. Now, the security service that takes the most advantage of Power Automate is Microsoft Cloud App Security. Now, what we can do with Cloud App Security is once we have an alert, once we have a detection, then what we can do, we can initiate a Power Automate or a flow to go and take action on that. Now, that action could be anything you want. It could be, you know, raising alerts, sending an email, doing whatever Power Automate provides us to do. And that is quite powerful in what it can do. But remember, it's not pure code. It's more designed for the power user or the citizen developer, as they call it today. But one of the really good things about Power Automate is its capability to have it included in most Microsoft 365 tenants. So for most customers who have Microsoft 365, they will have a license for Power Automate, which means there's no additional cost. They can go up and set their flows inside that. They can monitor and manage, maintain them, and do that inside the familiar Microsoft 365 environment. Now, if you haven't looked at Power Automate, I'd certainly recommend that you go and do that, because there are a lot of benefits for security, but also for automating many other processes inside an organization. Now, again, the idea here is if you're working with Microsoft Cloud App Security, you can utilize Power Automate to take custom actions based on that alert. So typically you'd want to raise an alert, maybe log a ticket in the support system, or do whatever you want. Now, you'll find that option at the bottom of the alert. So in Microsoft Cloud App Security, when you do set up alert, there's an option there to, for example, send an email. It's just below that. We tick the option to run a Power Automate, and we would also need to have that in place first. Now, closely tied to Power Automate is something called Logic Apps. Now, Logic Apps is effectively part of Azure, and it does look and feel a lot like Power Automate. So you'll see that Power Automate is sort of built on Azure Logic Apps. Now, Azure Logic Apps provides more power, more functionality, better monitoring, and so on for the actual automation process, but it's still a low-code solution for integrating into the environment. Now, where we see Logic Apps integrate is typically with Azure Sentinel Playbook. So when we're working with Azure Sentinel and we want to take an action based on alert or based on some sort of query, we would use Azure Logic Apps, or Azure Logic Apps are integrated. Now, a couple of things about Azure Logic Apps. Now, remember that that means that you'll need an Azure subscription. And you'll need an Azure paid subscription as part of that. So those Logic Apps are billed as on-demand costing. So the Power Automate, you get a large amount of flows per month included, so there's generally no cost there. But Logic Apps, because it's an Azure function, will be billed on consumption. So every time you run, there will be a small cost for that code to execute. Now, again, this is probably the next step up from Power Automate. It's going to give more functionality, more control to the people designing it, using it, and its integration is there, like I said, with Azure Sentinel. And it's referred to in Azure Sentinel as Playbook. So go in and have a look at that. You can set up a Playbook to do that. One of the other ways that you can use Logic Apps, for example, is to pull data from other sources and push it into Azure Sentinel if you wish to do that. So again, Power Automate, probably the most basic. The next step up is going to be Logic Apps, which is an Azure function there, or a component of Azure. Now, the next option is something called Azure Functions. So as you can hear, it is, once again, an Azure service. This means that you are billed per execution. And the idea here is that you can run these processes in a way, quickly and easily and on demand. So again, you're only paying when the service actually runs, not having it sitting there waiting all the time. So it's not a time-based consumption service, it's an execution-based consumption service. Now, the difference with Azure Functions is it is far more programmatic, which means that you're probably going to have to get down into the code using things like Visual Studio and so on to create the code. There are a number of languages that functions do support, but the one I would call your attention to is PowerShell. So what we can do is we can write PowerShell scripts, we can surface those in Azure Functions, and we can then automate those. Now, the benefit of Azure Functions compared to Logic Apps and Power Automate is that you have basically the ability to actually go in and write code. You have more control over the routines that you use and the automation that you use, and you can trigger this in an automated way, you can trigger this through a web request and so on. So it does give you more functionality, and it does allow that lower level granular control to actually go and do what you want. So generally what you find is when you use Power Automate and Logic Apps, it works really well to get started, but then it can be very frustrating because you can't do exactly what you want. You really have to start going about it in a roundabout way, and that can be very frustrating for anybody who's used to doing traditional programming. Now, that is available to you in Azure Functions. A little bit of, obviously, learning around that, but I've used that regularly and find that works quite well, but like I said, it is a bit more of an advanced scenario in most cases. Now, don't let that put you off. It certainly is going to give you the power to go to the next level. So once again, Power Automate perhaps to start off with and Flow, then look at Logic Apps, and then look at something like Azure Functions. And remember that anything in Azure, there's going to be a consumption cost tied to that, which will be independent of anything in Office 365. So any Azure costs usually aren't tied to the Office 365 subscription. You'll need an Azure subscription to achieve that. But those Logic Apps and Functions are very, very cheap to run, but you will have to need a paid subscription for that. Now, the final option, which is probably common in many examples, is PowerShell. Now, PowerShell is an object-oriented scripting language. It allows you to write programmatic code. There is no cost to use PowerShell, so you typically develop it. You develop the scripts you want, and you execute those on your workstation against Microsoft 365 services. So for example, you would write a script that will go out and check mailboxes, or it would look at some component or turn something on or off inside Microsoft 365. Now, PowerShell is very much the basis for a lot of what Microsoft does with its technologies. A lot of its GUI wizards that actually run things like Exchange configuration and so on actually run PowerShell behind the scenes. So having a level of comfort with PowerShell is very, very important for IT pros going forward. Now, the great thing about PowerShell is, again, it is a proper, language which you can write code in. It supports, you know, looping, it supports variables, all that sort of stuff. And it can be used against all Microsoft services, as in the cloud and also on-prem. So it gives it that flexibility to work across most environments. Now, the other good thing with PowerShell is that it has now been open source. So PowerShell version 7 is available on most platforms, Linux, Mac, PC, and so on. So that's going to allow you to use it and run it on most endpoints that you have. But remember, typically the process is you develop the code, you then run it against the Microsoft 365 services to achieve what you want. Now, I do have a number of free scripts available out there. They're at github.com/directorcia, and you will also find lots and lots of scripts and so on that people have created out there that they provide for free in GitHub and TechNet, Gallery, all that sort of stuff. So there's lots and lots of scripts out there that you can use. My advice to you is, when you use somebody else's script, just make sure that you are comfortable that it does what it says. Work your way through the script and just follow what it does. It's easy to read. There's no compilation there. You can see what's happening line by line and make sure that you do understand, because PowerShell is very powerful in what it can do. It will make changes, or it can make changes to the tenant just as you are working with in the GUI. So again, just be very careful of any third-party script that you do find. Just go through and check it and verify it and make sure that it does work as expected and not doing something that may cause you some issues there. So again, the stack is Power Automate for the most basic entry level into automation. This will link into Microsoft Cloud App Security. Logic Apps, that's going to link in to Azure, things like Azure Sentinel. It is very much like Power Automate, but with a bit more power. Next step up is Azure Functions, and I'll be looking to use Azure Functions with PowerShell as an easy entryway into being able to automate a lot of these services using PowerShell skills. And of course, I think the core skill is around PowerShell. And you don't have to be a coder to do this. It's just a matter of getting familiar with it and using it to do some basic operations, because it's much quicker generally to work in the command line interface than it is to work through a GUI. You get a lot more consistency, and it's also a lot quicker, I find, because it's obviously doing it without the overhead of a web browser. Now, all of these can be used to enhance the security, especially around the notifications and the actions taken when detections are surfaced inside, you know, the different products. They all work together. So, for example, PowerShell can be used with Cloud App Security if you want. So there is some integration capabilities in there. It's just a matter of what level and what depth you want to go into. So my advice, if you're just starting out, is to look at the Power Automate side of it. Keep it nice and simple, but in the long run, I really do encourage people who are doing this day-to-day, who are really serious about working with these sort of tools and getting the most information out of them, is to start looking at PowerShell and also the Microsoft Graph, which will allow you to reach into all these services in a much more granular way than some of these things like Power Automate. However, you will find lots of examples out there, lots of stuff on my blog that hopefully will give you some inspiration of where to start and what to do. Remember, my advice to you is to take it nice and easy, to do the simple things first. So go in and find out what is the easiest option, maybe just to send an alert or send an email to someone before you're getting too deep into it. Because what we find is people get all excited about this automation and they dive into it. They get really frustrated because they can't necessarily make it work. So keep it simple, build it up. There's plenty of support and learnings out there from Microsoft on what you can use and how you can learn more about the product. And with that, I will look at rounding off this FAQ. Remember that you can follow the podcast on at N2K Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. Send me some email directly, director@ciaops.com. Really interested to hear what your thoughts are and what you would like to hear on the podcast. Remember that we have the FAQs, which are the shorter episodes like this one, and also the long form ones with news and typically an interview with someone around the technologies. And of course, you can contact me on the Twitters at DirectorCIA. And again, I'll take this opportunity to thank you for listening to this episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Microsoft 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selections available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.